Monster Man, Episode 178, Demons, Part 3. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing, and not completing, our journey through the Demons section of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. So let's get started. First up, we have the Dretch. The Dretch first appeared in, get this, The Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth, the scenario that apparently every demon in this section appeared in. It's not every, but many of the demons in this section first appeared in the module The Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth. It's got a lot of demons in it. Anyway, dretches are kind of the absolute bottom of the demonic hierarchy, and I like the fact that they look it, right? Dretches are doughy, spindly-legged, miserable-looking creatures. They look really, really unhappy. And as an episode that I'm going to put up next week suggests, I like the idea there that monsters are unhappy somehow. I don't say that to be vindictive. It's just kind of an interesting theme that ties into a lot of writing about monsters. Now, I say that dretches are the bottom of the demonic hierarchy and that they're weak. Obviously, I mean weak by demonic standards. We're still talking about critters that are AC2 with 4 HD. If you were out in the Prime Material Plane, these guys would be pretty respectable opponents for low to medium level characters. But obviously, in actual hell, the standards are a little bit higher, you know? So dretches are basically your kind of foot soldier laborer types, and they get pushed around a lot by the other demons, as we saw in the description of the relationship between the Chasmes and the dretches in the Chasme entry, that the Chasmes basically just kind of push dretches around and make their lives miserable. Next up, we have two demon lords. The first of them is Fraz Erblu, also known as Var Azhlu. And he first appeared in, wait for it, The Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth. Fraz Erblu, I gather, is a pretty big muckamuck in the World of Greyhawk setting. I've never been a Greyhawk guy, also not a Forgotten Realms guy. Not a Dragonlance fan. I've never really been a fan of the kind of, like, someone else going into great detail about the more or less mainstream fantasy worlds of Dungeons & Dragons. Fraz Erblu is the Lord of Illusions, or Prince of Illusions, and I like him. One of the interesting things about Fraz Erblu is that a good amount of his, not all of by any means, but just, like, there's about a paragraph in his description is devoted to outlining what his realm is like, and I think that that's a really interesting idea, and one that it would be fun to see in more of the demonic entries here in Monster Manual 2. One of the nice things about really big monsters in 5th edition is that the Monster Manual goes into a good deal of detail about what you might expect to find in their lairs, and that kind of helps you integrate the monster into the setting, the monster into the dungeon, in a more interesting way, and it actually gives them abilities that they can use there. There's a little bit like what this entry does to Fraz Erblu. I cannot help but feel that Fraz Erblu's name is a joke and that it is a spin on someone being called Fraser Blue, but I can't imagine who would be called Fraser Blue, so it doesn't go anywhere. Anyway, Fraz Erblu's realm is a bland, dreary, sort of empty place that he can use his illusory powers to shape into whatever form he wants. But people who go there find that they're live, that their magic items are drained of magic. So although Fraz Erblu does, in fact, secrete treasure all around his demonic realm, any of the treasure that's magical has probably lost its magic. And I think that there's something really interesting in the idea that the Illusions Demon Prince is anti-magical. Now, I don't think that he's ideologically opposed to magic. I just mean that, like, there's something about his superficial manipulation of this bland and boring reality that actually drains the magic out of things. I think that's a very interesting idea, and I don't know if it comes from something, but I think it's a fun detail and a way to make, you know, that these demon princes are a bit more detailed than the ones in Monster Manual 1, and they kind of have to be because they're not drawing on actual demonology, but so far I think they work out pretty well. Fraz Erblu definitely has some personality to him as expressed through his horrible realm. I also like the illustration here. Holloway has given him a kind of expression, which goes with the idea that he's a sort of trickster and liar. You know, you can imagine that that Frazer Blue has a pretty dreadful sense of humor. His name is not great. Varaz Hlu is actually better, and that's still not terrific. There's a character that Gary Gygax, like the next one in RNG, this character that Gary Gygax seemed to be quite attached to. I gather that it's, you know, it's sort of from his home campaign, but I don't know if that's true, but, like, it talks in the entry about, you know, the two people who have returned from Frazer Blue's realm, and, you know, they report that their swords were drained of magic, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that that is an event that happened in Gygax's game. Next up, we have Grezd. Two Z's and a T reminds me of someone. In fact, doesn't Drizzt also have an apostrophe in there? I feel like we maybe should declare a moratorium on apostrophes in fantasy names. Although maybe we should have declared a moratorium a long time ago, and now they could be making a comeback like a lot of other hokey elements of traditional fantasy. You know, that kind of died off in the 90s and early 2000s, and then we started to bring them back because we realized that there was some sincere joy to be had of them if they weren't overused. Maybe that could be true of apostrophes and fantasy names. I think it's something we could all work on, because right now I hate them, and there's no reason for me to hate them other than that they're overused. So if we could knock it down by like 50%, I think that would really go a long way. Anyway, Grezd's mythology, and that's what I'm going to call him, Grezd, his mythology was developed after this book to some extent. He appeared in various novels and things, but his first appearance in the game is, you guessed it, The Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth. And he is pretty much a big old demon guy. He was summoned to the Prime Material Plane by a mortal magic user, and I believe, in fact, that, you know, speaking of Cambians from last episode, they had a child together, although, anyway, the point about it all is that Grezd, the thing that distinguishes him from other demon princes, is that he has even more severe rivalries with them than the most. When Mordenkainen's Book of Foes came out, the thing about the sort of infernal planes was that they were at war with each other all the time, the so-called blood war between demons and devils. But here we also see this kind of internal squabbling among the demons that I think works really well, because obviously these are all like chaotic, evil, super powerful warlord types. Naturally, they're not going to get along with each other. These are not people who get along with anyone, let alone other psychopaths. So he's an enemy of other demons, and therefore he is someone against whom you might find yourself allying with other demons, or vice versa. And that, I think, is a pretty fun bit. It sort of applies to all demon lords, but the fact that it's explicitly called out in Grezd means that he must be even more hostile than others to his own kind. And that, I think, is a fun niche for him to occupy. I will say that the description of him as being the most handsome of all the demons is a bit kind of, that's a bit odd. Never mind, somebody's got to be. But unfortunately, it's a bit let down by Holloway's illustration here. Again, Holloway gives him a good face and facial expression, but his outfit looks weird, his pose is awkward. Holloway's fabrics look kind of lumpy and unnatural. This is often a thing that he does. He over or under shades. I'm not enough of an art critic to know this, but there's often something kind of weird looking about the way Holloway draws clothes. Again, one of the reasons that he's such a great illustrator for Paranoia, where his tendency to draw people looking uneasy, uncomfortable, actually really fits in with the sort of general crappiness of life in Alpha Complex. But Grezd is fine. He's basically just a supervillain type, and he gets to motivate that story where, you know, Spider-Man and Doc Octopus have to team up to fight him because he's so evil and he's against other demons, and you get to recruit their help. There's a good amount of that in this, actually. What with the Alu demon and whatnot, this idea that player characters might wind up siding with demons in their conflicts, which I think maybe adds a little more play potential to demons and devils rather than just having you go around kicking their faces. So Grezd, there's nothing that stands out about him, but I think he works in the role that he's described as being part of here. Certainly doesn't have the kind of colorful description of Frazer Blue, but I think he works. Next time on Monster Man, we're going to be exploring, you guessed it, demons. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.